Thank you, Noren. Well, as you can see from the front of the bulletin, today is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday in the Christian year. It doesn't line up with our regular year, which New Year's begins the new year. But for us, next week will begin the new year. The Christian year beginning with the first Sunday of Advent, which is where we begin our anticipation of the birth of the Christ child, the same one born to be the King that we talk about today. We also, during Advent, talk about the return of Christ in glory. But today is Christ this King. It's this day to focus our thoughts on Jesus Christ and the kingship he claimed through his death and resurrection. And so today you may come like me, or may have come in with the expectation of hearing scripture about Jesus as sovereign over all creation, ruler of all, to come and sing majestic hymns that sing about Christ's power and strength and victory over even evil and death. Songs that sing about crowning Christ as King over all. As a matter of fact, a church that I knew, a large church that I know, on Facebook posted something last night, and they were listing out what they were doing in worship today, and they have pulled out all the stops. And if you don't know what that expression means, on the organ, when you pull out all the stops, it makes the floor shake. Everything is playing. All the sounds are coming. They were pulling out all the stops. They have the orchestra and the adult choir and the children's choir and the handbells. And they're doing songs like Crown Him with Many Crowns and Lift High the Cross. Now Think We All Are God. All Hail the Power, which we did today, and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And that, I think, is what I come expecting. These songs that tell us of Christ's power and strength. Our first reading does meet some of these expectations, so let me share with you our reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. Well, that scripture meets some of these expectations. A marvelous description of Jesus, the image of the invisible God, that when we look upon Jesus, we are looking upon God, the firstborn of all creation. In him all things on earth and in heaven were created. The visible things, the invisible things, what we know, what we don't know. He himself is before all things and holds everything all together. The head of this body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. I don't know about you, but this is a description of a king that I can get behind. First place in everything. Head of the church. The one who holds it all together. You know, to be honest, we often come to this day with expectations of what a king is, what a king should look like, how a king should act, what authority a king should have. Even though in the USA we have never had a king, we clearly have some thoughts about what a king might be like. Why else would we be having no king's rallies? We have expectations that have been formed by kings that we have known throughout history. As Christians, we even have 1st and 2nd Kings in our Old Testament. And if you have read these PG-13, possibly R books, you know that most of the kings of Israel were described with these words: "He did evil in the sight of the Lord." As a matter of fact, when I took Old Testament, I remember that for one exam, we had to memorize the names of all the kings in order and then be able to list whether they were good or bad. I don't have a great memory. And so I was a little struggling with this, but looking at the list, I realized this list of all these names that are not familiar to most of us, they are hard to pronounce, and some of them even sound a whole lot alike. Looking at that list, I realized very quickly that the easiest way to memorize who was the good king was to memorize the list of the good kings only, because it was only a handful. Everybody else, all the remaining kings of Judah and Israel, had it said of them, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord." You know, we even live in a country that fought to be released from the control of a king. So we have some expectations of what a king would be like. We expect a king to have complete authority and control over their subjects. We expect a king to be a man of power whose word is the law, the last word. We expect a king to be fabulously wealthy, to live a life of privilege, to have others serve him. And this is what we expect of human kings, and perhaps by accidental extension, what we imagine God's kingship to be. Which is why you, like me, like Norrin, might have been surprised by the gospel reading for today. And I have to apologize because I even put the wrong one in the bulletin. I put last week's. And then I realized what I had done. Perhaps we expected today to be a passage from after Christ's resurrection, maybe a story there about the ascension. Then we could talk about Christ ruling from heaven. Or maybe we're just going to go and use some of those images from Revelation of the heavenly court. But instead, the lectionary gives us this scene that Norrin shared with you. Jesus on the cross. Jesus saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Jesus talking to the criminal. You know, I was told once that whenever I am reading a passage, when I'm studying the Bible and I want to understand, to pay attention when I'm surprised. Notice the things that surprise me, and then to work, dig deeper to try to understand them. So although my first instinct today was to preach on the Colossians text, because that one would have been easier, I even carted home a bunch of my commentaries. Shannon knows I cart things in and out. Carried home a big bag of commentaries on Colossians to read for insight. But I just kept being pulled back to this passage from the Gospel of Luke. Why? Why is this the passage for Christ the King? I mean, I would expect that passage that Norrin shared with us to be during Holy Week. If this is the passage for Christ the King Sunday, what does it tell us about Christ? If Christ is king, what kind of king might Christ be? What kind of king is Christ? Christ is a crucified king. Not like any human king we have studied or known, not like any human conception of king. You know, in the beginning of that passage, God lets us know what a king looks like when he allows Pilate to write the sign and put it on the cross above Jesus' head. The sign that says, "This is the King of the Jews." This jars our thinking. Christ is king. He's not privileged, but one who suffers. He's not standing in power, but he's the object of the abuse of power. Luke describes this humiliation with words of abuse. He's a criminal, condemned, naked, scoffed at, mocked, taunted, derided, reviled, sneered at, crucified. When they put that sign there, they're mockingly trying to say that there is no king here except the one who wears not a crown of jewels but a crown of thorns. Hardly the king of our expectations and our imaginations. But the sign Pilate hangs over the cross where Jesus is dead right. Jesus was king even there, welcoming people into his kingdom. Not even waiting until he was throned in glory, but doing it from the very cross, the very place of his death. Of the two that were crucified with him, one joined in the taunts, but the other rebukes him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we have been justly condemned, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then the criminal turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This criminal, even from the cross, even looking at Jesus hanging on the cross, recognizes Jesus as king and asks to be remembered when Jesus comes into his kingdom. And Jesus, the king, welcomes him into his kingdom. He says, "This day truly you will be with me in paradise." From the cross, in his last hours, Jesus continues his ministry that he had described to Zacchaeus just a few chapters earlier in Luke 19. He says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And earlier, Jesus had told the crowds in Luke 4, as he read from the Isaiah in the scroll in the temple, he said, "He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So what kind of king is Jesus? Not like a human king, as our expectations have been shaped to expect. You know, he never dressed like we think a king would dress. He never owned a palace and riches, never commanded a servant, never exercised power over anyone, never played the system for his own benefit, his own self-interest, did not live according to our expectation, our human expectation for royalty. Theologian Rosalind Brown expresses it this way when she wrote, "God's promise to the people was a king who is righteous, deals wisely, executes justice and righteousness in the land, and enables people to live securely." In Jesus, God has fulfilled that promise. Justice and righteousness, themes that will recur in Advent, are hallmarks of God's king. In the story of Jesus, kingship is recast. The miracle lies in the fact that God shared the potential hopelessness of the human situation, but does so as king, as the source of our hope and life. Jesus took his wounds to heaven, and there is a place in heaven for our wounds because our king bears his in glory. Jesus lifted up on the cross reveals that true power, true kingly action, lies in self-giving love. Jesus gives us a vision of the kingdom where we have a king who loves even those like the criminal who we might overlook or dismiss or discard. And Jesus loves them. Who acknowledges and favors and even regards the marginalized. A king who uses power not for his own benefit or his own self-interest, but to intercede on behalf of others. A king who reaches out to people who are at their very end of their life, like the criminal, or of their ability to care or to function, or at their end of their rope, and shows us that no one is beyond the reach of the mercy of our King of Love. And so, what does it mean when we say that we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and King? Friends, we are freed to participate in the reign of Christ, in Christ's kingdom, by loving as Christ first loved us, by speaking on behalf of the marginalized, or as Jesus said it earlier, bringing good news to the poor, by calling out justice, calling out for justice when we see injustice, as Jesus said, proclaiming release to the captives. We can participate by showing God's love to those who have not seen love. As Jesus put it, recovery of sight to the blind. We can participate in the reign of Christ by advocating for those oppressed, or as Jesus put it, to let the oppressed go free. Whenever we forgive those who spitefully use or abuse us, whenever we seek to serve rather than be served, whenever we speak up for those that have no voice, whenever we think little of ourselves in our desire to uplift others, we follow Christ the King as our Lord and our God. Thanks be to God.